Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update, November 6th. We are about 1 hour into the equity markets today with myself and Carl. How are you?
I am doing just well today, Scott. Yourself?
I'm doing well. I guess this is a positive thing that we don't have a whole lot to report on this week's podcast. And the reason I say that is because if we look at the numbers from now to last podcast, we have an S&P that's down less than 1%, NASDAQ basically down 1%, Dow down 1%, Russell down 1%, gold 0.25%, crude oil about 2.5%. So that's an area that we find interesting for a few different reasons, down 16% on the year. And so as we move into the end of the year, where we tend to see heightened spending, consumer discretionary should do well. And that might be an area that really, depending on what all goes on with the government shutdown, right? Whether that dampens or continues to dampen travel. But if there were to be some sort of resolution there, you might see a significant uptick in crude oil prices. Now, obviously, there's a lot of factors, global factors, that go into the price of crude. And so we want to look at all of that, but just purely from a year-to-date number, it's a little bit interesting as an idea, at least to monitor for some sort of positioning inside of the portfolios. Outside of that, well, let me touch on one other thing before we go to interest rates. I do believe that our beginning of year stats are going to end up fairly accurate. And we had given a wide range at the beginning of the year, but we're kind of right there at the lower band of that range. And it still holds true based on various statistics that there could very easily be another roughly 6% in the S&P, right? That's what we typically go off of. But another 6% in the S&P into the end of the year. So we're very positive on that front. We talked about next year and what that looks like. I think it would be important that we maybe even dedicate an entire podcast as to why we are so bullish for next year. It's not because we want to be bullish, it's because the statistics and the blueprints from history point towards it. And so I'm excited to do that podcast, to really focus in on that and also talk about how we're positioned to take advantage of that. And it's a multi-factored approach, but yeah, I think it'd be very, very interesting. So with all of that being said, one of those factors that feeds into it is the interest rate environment, not just here domestically, but internationally. So this would be a good time to go ahead and jump over to Carl's corner.
I'm glad you brought up the international aspect of interest rate because that's not something we do talk about a lot. We definitely don't talk about international markets that much. We keep our international exposure as of this moment very limited due to the way we see the American markets happening right now. But the UK government recently sat down and had their own Fed meeting, and they also kept their rates. Well, they kept their rates the same, unlike what we did, which was decrease the rates. But it was essentially a 50-50 split across the pond. It was 5-4 for keeping it versus rate cut. And so they're also kind of right in that middle ground because, as we've been discussing, we have some dissenters who want more, some that don't want any. And so they're going it right in the middle, which is 25 basis points. So just like overseas is seeing it, we're seeing it very well here in our own hometowns of, okay, no one, there's not a consensus one way or another. Everyone's cutting rates or everyone's keeping them the same. And so we're all kind of in that same boat together. And one thing to touch on is the things that and the metrics that the Fed uses are generally and holistically on hold until the government shutdown is completed. For instance, CPI number, PCE numbers, everything like that, they're all tentative right now. There's not a set date that they're going to come out because the people who do that work for the government, right? So the
Right.
Fed is not necessarily flying blind because they have their own metrics they do behind the scenes. but they also rely heavily on the government metrics that come out here. And so everything was still pointing in a downward trend. And so that's what the Fed is going to use. They're probably going to keep the same trend line. However, with the shutdown and the numbers not coming out, they may, in fact, skip December, like we've been discussing. And the probabilities have come down. The last month, it was 90% chance of a 25 rate cut in December. And every week, it seems to go down 5 to 10%. We're at 70% now. And since we've been talking, it's gone down to 65%, right? So you can see there is a shift happening where it's, well, like we've been discussing, we already have all the economic data that's going to come through when the government comes back. We know there's going to be spending. We know all these other things that are going to be happening in the early part of 2026. Skipping December and keeping the rates the same is not going to affect the economy that much. And we're seeing that right now, real time, not only in our probabilities, but overseas as well.
Yeah, and two quick points on that. We've talked about in the past how when it comes to interest rates, December tends to always be a surprise kind of month. And so it would not surprise me if they were to pause in December, and the probabilities seem to point towards that. But with that being said, when the probabilities were at that kind of 90% threshold, it looked like the next rate cut was not likely until, basically towards the end of the first quarter, and maybe that March, April, in the first quarter, beginning of second time frame. And now if you look at January, that probability of a rate cut is now upwards of 80%. So if they were to pause in December, we might kick off 2026 with a rate cut. The second point I was going to make there is what is important, because we are so internationally interwoven when it comes to economies, just because our government is on pause, if we will. We can still monitor places like the Bank of England and elsewhere to see what they're doing in response to any sort of inflationary metrics, because we're so interwoven again internationally from an economic standpoint. So just because our data is not coming in doesn't mean that we don't have access to at least a bit of a gauge as to what we can expect. And so we have maintained our stance in the portfolios to be very interest rate sensitive in anticipation of future rate cuts, not just here, but abroad as well. And I think that's going to lend itself again as one of those factors as to why we believe 2026 could be a really, really big year. And now I've gotten myself excited to do that podcast focused just on that. I guess we could wait a little bit towards the end of the year to really dive into that, because we do have still the remainder of this year to focus on. But I will say, we did, during our investment committee meeting, we did identify a few positions that look to be good candidates. They've been long-term positions. Good candidates to take profits on and rebalance into some individual names that we believe could benefit from those different factors that we will absolutely go into more detail on. And I'm very much looking forward to that podcast.
Yes, I believe covering that in about mid-December, right about when we're about to make the changes to the portfolios. That's gonna be a nice in-depth podcast about our forward look of 2026, how we're gonna position the models that we have. And just to reiterate, when we talk about the changing of models, we normally discuss the growth models that we have. We also have the dividend model, which is it, we don't make as many changes to it because the main purpose of that is to generate dividends, not to grow the holistic portfolio itself. So just to reiterate, all these changes we're looking at, most of them are in the growth models themselves that we can take advantage of the growth of 2026.
Well, that's a very good point. Yes, we do absolutely. When we talk about portfolios, generally, we are speaking towards the more, whether it be conservative growth, moderate growth, or in a very small case, it, more, it, like, I guess I hate using the word aggressive. I always say advanced, portfolios from a risk tolerance standpoint. So those are the ones we are typically referring to, but we do have other models that are more focused on dividend income producing while maintaining liquidity type of thing. So yes, that's a very good point. And we can also dedicate a podcast to speak towards the dividend model as well, because we do have listeners that are in those. So we do need to dedicate a podcast to that as well.
And
Okay.
so we will probably end up doing a podcast on the dividend model as well, because we do have some big changes coming in there as well.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. And all of which are focused on what we believe the end of the year growth will look like, and especially 2026, which we will go very much in detail on that. As you mentioned, Carl, probably closer to mid-December when we do that next rebalance, unless for some reasons, it appears that we need to do it sooner than that. But yeah, other than that, it's been a quiet week, and that's kind of how we opened up this podcast. And the significance behind that is a lot of times when you have a year like this, especially when you're entering into seasonally the best 6 month stretch, which would be November to April, typically you kind of want it to start out very, very quiet. And that's what allows for that next leg higher. And so I think it's really well timed, positioned, and I'm very excited about it. Do you have anything else, Carl?
Nope, that's everything I have. Like you said, very happy about the quiet week. If any of the listeners out there think someone they know would enjoy our market commentary, feel free to email the newsletter on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean Radio app.
Perfect. Well, with that, then we're going to go ahead and wish everybody a happy upcoming Friday and weekend. And we're going to go ahead and look forward to doing this again next week.